Brian Eno is known mostly as a producer of other people's music. He has worked with David Bowie, Talking Heads, U2, and others. But in the 1970s, Eno made four legendary solo albums. Those albums have now been remastered and released on CDs. Our reviewer, Mikel Jolet, wasn't born when the original records were released, but he's given them a listen, and here's what he thought.
There aren't many rules to music journalism. You're supposed to remain objective, try not to get drunk with the people you interview, and tread lightly on torturous metaphors about string sections. But the one hard, fast, unbreakable rule of music journalism is as follows. Respect your elders. You see, there's not much new thinking to be done about, say, the Beatles or the Velvet Underground. There's a kind of international consensus with regard to which musicians make up the sacred rock and roll canon, which the snot-nosed young journalist is expected to respect like the Ten Commandments. You know, thou shalt not diss Lou Reed. Brian Eno's in this category. He's best known for pioneering the idea that a music studio can be a musical instrument. With this approach, he made a series of pop albums in the mid-70s, which he recently re-released as a set, probably because someone tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, you know all that new stuff on the radio? Didn't you, like, do that 30 years ago?" Well, he did. The irony, of course, is that so many of the bands finding acclaim in 2004 are ripping off a post-punk sound pioneered by bands like Joy Division in 1979, who were themselves actually ripping off Brian Eno from 1974. Check this song out. It's called Third Uncle. Eno's influence is felt even more strongly in the realm of electronic music. Another Green World, a record he released in 1975, is something of a bridge between his pop past with Roxy Music and his ambient future. The album is rife with slow melodies that loop over each other in a kind of dizzy warmth. And that sort of thing is all the rage these days with electronic acts like Air or M83. The difference, of course, is that these newer acts can create loops with the push of a button, while Eno had to spend countless hours manually splicing reel after reel of quarter-inch tape. Eno still did it better. This song is called The Big Ship. When I think of the 70s, I think of Led Zeppelin and Kiss, chest hair and tights. It's all swagger and bravado, guitar solos, 4-inch tongues, and 6-octave vocal ranges. But then here's Brian Eno, writing these thoughtful little songs about ideas that fall through the cracks. Who knew that sort of thing went on in the 70s? It's like the indie rock Beowulf or the first time you read Nabokov and think, "God, that guy's like a smarter version of my roommate." I think this song captures the sentiment best. It's called I'll Come Running. I'll find a place somewhere in the corner.
I'll come running to tie your shoe.
And so then there's that moment when it all comes together, when the light goes on in your head and you realize that the sacred canon of rock and roll isn't there to beat you over the head or to try to box you into some stereotype, but that it's more like the sharing of a joke with your grandfather or dancing in the kitchen with your kids to some song you loved when you were their age. And you just want them to like it for the same reason you did, because something about it was familiar to you, and it made you feel more alive. And that's a feeling worth defending. So, I guess that's the gist of it. And if anybody asks me about these records, I'll even tell them, yeah, say whatever you feel, but thou shalt not diss my Brian Eno.
The music is from Brian Eno. Our reviewer is Mikel Jolet.
Here he comes, the boy who tried to buy.
following him. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.